Okay, pray for me. Short message. I believe in miracles. Actually, I'm going to speak about something I've never heard anybody speak about from a pulpit, and you'll be glad it's a short message. You know, this week's Parsha, Parshat Ki Tetzé, is from the people who count these things, it's the Parsha that has the most specific commandments of any Parsha in the whole Torah. So if we were to go through and count all of them, I forget whether it's 74 or 94 different commandments that are listed here, and I want to speak about one you have probably never heard a message on. It's in Deuteronomy 23. Go ahead. You might want to open your Bibles just to believe that this is in here. Follow along with me. Designate a place outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. Verse 12 in the English, 13, I think, in the Hebrew. As part of your equipment, have something to dig with, and when you do relieve yourself, dig a hole and cover up your excrement. For the Lord your God moves about in your camp to protect you and to deliver your enemies to you. Your camp must be holy so that he will not see among you anything indecent and turn away from you. This is our text tonight. So I want you to remember at least three things from this. Number one, go outside the camp. Take a shovel and cover it up when you're through. Okay, if you remember that, you will have remembered the heart and core of this message. Now, you might say to yourself, why is this in the Bible? And there are a lot of reasons, but the most basic is that the Torah is concerned with every aspect of life, of everyday life, because God is interested in every part of life, and he has teaching even about things that are so ordinary that you might wonder why does it need teaching. But imagine being with hundreds of thousands of people, each of whom might have a different opinion about how to handle matters of sanitation. In fact, the Jewish people took sanitation to heart, so much so that during times of plagues in European history, the Jews were often spared because the Jews had the habit of being sanitary, washing the hands and staying clean. And if you have traveled much, you may have gone to countries now and cities now where the sanitation is not good and where open sewers are flowing through streets that you have to walk in. And you understand just how serious this is. And rather than saying, wow, this is kind of weird, I want you to understand that God was so concerned for the well-being of the people that he even gave guidance about such things, not leaving it up to personal opinion. Because if it was just left up to everyone to do what was right in his own eyes, then those who had the lowest sanitation standards would affect everybody, right? And so this is very basic instruction. Good reasons, you know, come to mind. Sanitation, concern for others. That's another thing I think that comes to mind. So that no one else is going to step in it. Right? These are obvious reasons when you think about them. But what's so interesting is that the Torah actually goes a step beyond that and says, because you and I could figure this out. But it says something else. It says, the Lord your God moves about in your camp. God is with you. And even at that time in Israel's history, God was committed to walking in the presence of the children of Israel. It says in Genesis that God walked with Adam, and you could hear the sound of the Lord walking. And many times he appeared to the patriarchs. And here God is saying, I intend to move about in your midst. I don't want to step on anything. And I don't want anything indecent to be out there. Now, what's indecent? I hope you can understand it. It's not the excrement itself that's indecent, because it's natural, right? All natural. It just goes to show all natural does not make everything all clean. Everyone has it. Everyone makes it. Everyone needs to get rid of it, right? What's the indecent part? The indecent part, I think, is being unconcerned for the well-being of other people. The indecent part would be to be unloving and to not care what effect my stuff has on anybody else. That's indecent. And it's almost as if the Lord says, I know the basic level of sanitation is obvious when you get clear about this, but there's more to that. There's something indecent about not being concerned for the effect that your excrement would have on other people. Now, you might say, well, you know, we live in America. We got good bathrooms, and that's not a concern. But I can tell you, there's more to it than that. Because this isn't just about what's obvious about excrement. Now, as serious as this passage is, do I have your attention? Yeah. How many of you have heard a message on this already? Yeah, one of you has. That's good. I'm not, therefore, repeating what has been said many times. But as serious as this passage is, Yeshua turns the idea into something even more interesting. It's not the stuff that you eat and that comes out of your body that is the most dangerous spiritually. It's the stuff, he says, that rises up from within you that comes out of words and actions. And so you might want to open up to Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, because Yeshua just has a way of getting to the heart of things. Remember, he's not being dismissive of Jewish practice, but he always has an edge about him. Even when he would make a bracha over bread, he would break the bread differently than other people. Do you remember that? And when he rose from the dead, some of the people did not recognize him physically. They didn't even recognize his voice or his eyes. But when he broke bread, they recognized him. And so he had the habit of participating in every good Jewish thing. Though there were times when some aspect of a tradition irritated him, because the heart of the purpose of that tradition had been lost. And rather than just negating everything, he speaks to the heart of things and issues a greater challenge. And that's what he's doing here in Mark. So let me read to you. Yeshua called the crowd to him, and he said, okay, so understand, he's getting their attention. Everybody, come here, come here. Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. Now, you need to know that in Hebrew, the word for excrement is like the going out. It has a special twist, you know, special form, if you will, when it's describing excrement. But there are other ways that you can, for instance, when you say go in peace, you use a form of it. So it's not all, you know, like. But here he's speaking in language that captures everybody's attention. It's what comes out of a man, because in that case it can sound like it's his poop that makes a man unclean. And yet, that doesn't make any sense in this context, because earlier there's been a big argument with Yeshua about the fact that he does not require his disciples to wash their hands before they eat. Even though they often do, they don't have to. And that, therefore, they're considered unclean. They have unclean hands, and thus they're unclean. They're not fit for eating, and some people don't want to eat with them. And Yeshua is doing this not because he's against the Jewish tradition of washing the hands. It's because he's driving home a point, and he has that kind of personality that's provocative. And he doesn't always explain things in ways that are easy to understand. Sometimes you don't get what he's saying. And that was exactly the case here. This teaching was not clear to his disciples. Verse 17, after he left the crowd and he entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable, this mishal. So in other words, what he had just said, at least they understood, was a parable. In other words, it sounded like he was talking about one thing, but he was talking about another. And so they can't figure out what it is, what it means. And he's listening to them in their bewilderment because they can't solve the puzzle of his teaching. And I love how he approaches this in verse 18. It's in the same tone of the parable. Are you so dull? He asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of the body. And there's a comment in the text that says, in saying this, Yeshua declared all foods clean. But it's important that you understand what that means. It meant that you could eat even if you had unwashed hands. Because that's exactly what the context of the conversation is about. He's not talking about all things are now food. It's that all food can be received as a blessing from God. Because you learn to bless God, you learn to wash your hands, not for just outward purposes, but in order to be accustomed to the holiness of God. Same idea as take a shovel. Do you get it? Do you see why I'm linking these two? It's exactly the same idea. So, it means you can eat without washing, and Yeshua goes on, he says, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. And this again sounds baffling because it sounds again like he's talking about excrement, but he's not. He's talking about something else that comes out. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly, all these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. In other words, in Messiah, you are actually not subject to powers and principalities, to demonic forces and every evil thing. You're free enough that if these things are rising up in you, it's because they're in you. Because they've taken place in you. It's not just a demonic thing. It's actually the things that are in the heart that are the most dangerous. All these evils come from inside and they make a man unclean. Such things as bitterness, unforgiveness, hatred. This makes a person unclean. If you've been with people who are defiled in this way and you get close to them, you get this feeling of uck, right? There are some people who are so negative and so hostile that just to be around them makes you feel dirty. And Yeshua is trying to focus on this. The same ideas that you think about in the natural have a spiritual application, but they may have to be turned a bit so that you see the application correctly. Yeshua is saying, food is nothing compared to the things that we allow to grow in our heart. Food is not really what you have to be concerned about. And he's not saying don't be concerned at all. He's saying that is not the high thing to be concerned about. Because what really can pollute us, what really can destroy us, is not the food that we eat, but the things we allow to grow in our heart. This can kill us. And don't think it's external to you. Don't think it's what other people have done to you. Don't think it's the result of your adversary just attacking you. These things that have taken up residence in your heart, they come out of you, and you know what? They're nasty. They're dirty. Get your shovel. Go outside the camp. Get rid of that stuff. Bury it so no one walks in it. Don't bring it in here. Don't bring it in here where someone else is going to step on it. If you understand the one, understand the other. This is a good Elul message, isn't it? As we prepare for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we use this month of Elul to examine ourselves. Let's make a commitment to get rid of what really makes us unclean, as well as the things that we do that make other people unclean. Take a shovel with you. Bury that stuff outside the camp. Do you like this message?
Yes!
I like those of you that like the message. The rest of you, you can go into another room and say, what was he talking about? What was the purpose of that sermon? Now, as we're taking care to grow up in holiness, it's also important that we keep our hope renewed, because sometimes we fall into despair when we see our weaknesses, or we see the flaws in us, or we see sin that has easily overtaken us. And it's important to also see something good about yourself. I mean, if you are proud and arrogant, I'm not speaking to you, if that's all you are. You know, the guy who said, I used to be conceited, but now I'm perfect. But it is important to see something good about yourself. This will build your hope. It's so important because it will help you understand that there is something in you that's alive to God, that can love Him and that can love other people. There's something good in you, even if you got a lot of work to do. Even if, as I was reading through that list of things Yeshua mentioned, if you said, oh man, I got that, I got that, I got that, I got that. It was like a diagnosis of your condition. Even so, take your shovel, go outside the camp, eliminate it there, bury it, and come back in and feel good. Find something that's good about yourself that's not the source of arrogance, but the source of confidence in who God has made you to be. This is the meaning of the idea, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, you will not love your neighbor. You'll do something else. And so it's important to understand that there is something about you that is lovable and that is loving, and give emphasis to that, and give place to that, give room for that, and nurture that. Sometimes if you just nurture that, it will overwhelm the other parts of you that are not lovable. But it will do this other thing. It will enable you to see good in other people. And that will help you shine light on those people so that they can see the good that is in them. They can see what God has done. They can see that the mercy of God is being manifest to them through you, and it will cause them to praise the Lord. You don't have to flatter people, because that's telling people good things that aren't true. or it's telling, it's overemphasizing certain good things for an ulterior motive so you can get something from them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about recognizing that God is at work in each person. And seeing the good things that he's done, even that may be invisible to that person or to others, and spotlighting them, appreciating that, drawing it forth, and allowing that to give such courage and hope to the person that they can go on with God. So as we search ourselves in a low list, not just for the purpose of making the list of how bad we are, but it's for the purpose of setting ourselves in a solid position of devotion to God, of love for God, and love for each other. That's why we search ourselves. Not so that we can conclude just how bad we are, but so that we can realize that a good God is calling us to himself, and that we will continue to answer him. And if we stray, let it be that we come quickly back, that he searches for us and he finds us. Let us not grow hard, and let us not become comfortable in our sin, and let us not to become so dull of conscience that we become accustomed to sin and don't even recognize it anymore. Take out your shovels. Go outside the camp, bury what you have to, get rid of that stuff. Then you don't have to worry about walking in it or anybody else. Well, that's the message for tonight. So you'll go home sometime this weekend, in the next few days, someone will say, so what did that rabbi talk about? You say, oh man. Something about a shovel and something else. Let's pray. Before we do, will you spot someone in the room who you want to receive a blessing from the Lord? And stand with that person. You, my beloved wife. Each of you, spot someone in the room, even if you have to move around. If you want them to be blessed, stand with them. It's not the only person you want to receive a blessing, but it's someone you want.
And Aaron's here.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navei lecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord pour out his favor and grace upon you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Come join us as we eat together in the Oneg.